You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are now in the month of September, which means, guys, by my calculations, next month is October, and when October comes into play, that is when we start sniffing some playoff baseball. I'm ready. I'm pumped. How you guys think the Astros are going to do as Paul adds the sniff noises?
I just wanted to sniff a little bit. Just a little sniff. Just a little taste. They're going to make it to the World Series. I don't think that the Yankees are true challengers. I think that the teams that they're going up against in the American League are, compared to them, just so far behind. They don't have the pitching, and while the bats still leave questions, I think that outside of New York, I don't really look at an offense that outshines them to the point where they're going to be in some sort of shootout, if you will, a baseball version of a shootout.
Oh, there you go. They have had some injuries. Justin Verlander seems to be okay. We're still not sure on a couple of the others. How do you feel injury-wise? Do you feel like health-wise they'll get back to where they need to be for the playoffs?
Alvarez is the tricky one because
it's his other hand, too.
It's both his
hands. The other one, yeah.
Yeah. How do you have them at 100% a month from now? Those are always really tricky injuries. Have you ever broken a
I have not broken hand? Anything, surprisingly, okay. Since I'm so uncoordinated.
I've broken both of the scaphoid bones in my wrists. They are extremely small bones that are essentially, if you're watching on Twitch, like right here. And both of my wrists, both of them from playing flag football.
I was going to say, oh,
flag at the same
football.
Time?
No.
Oh.
Once was me diving for the end zone, the ball rolled under my wrist. It hit, and the whole first semester of college, I had to wear a cast. It was like a four-month recovery time. And then same thing here. I caught a pass playing flag football after talking trash to somebody, and it was kind of karma. And
that detail is unnecessary.
Again, go. Well, I mean, I did catch a touchdown pass after telling him I was
also unnecessary.
Catch a
all
touchdown
district,
pass on him.
Safety, no big deal.
I mean, listen, the person.
And he has hands.
Like a. He was wearing a leg sleeve, and I felt the need to talk trash to him because of that. Whatever the case, it's a long recovery time, and for Yordan Alvarez, you wonder, okay, is a month or a couple of days off, is that going to be enough to get these things back to 100% and for him to somehow recapture the streak that he was on earlier this year when at a point like a month and a half ago, he was de facto the best hitter in baseball. Per the advanced numbers.
Let's take a look at the Astros schedule for the next calendar month. So this is what I'm going to read to you runs through October 3rd, I believe.
Okay.
So the Angels this weekend, followed by the Rangers.
Bums.
Then the Angels again.
Bums.
Tigers.
They've lost 18 in a row, Detroit.
Athletics.
Poors and bums.
So literal bums.
Yeah. So, I see what you did. So they do play the Rays on September 20th.
The Rays are good. They are actually
that
only
will be their first tricky game of September.
They're six games back of New York for what it is worth. New York's actually hasn't been playing horribly of late after that awful streak that they had. They've won six of their last 10. But yeah, Tampa Bay is playing very well right now. So that would be a nice little test before the playoffs begin.
The Orioles, followed by the Diamondbacks, the Rays again, and then the Phillies round out their regular schedule.
Philadelphia is still in the playoff mix as well, but it's a pretty easy next month, so I would encourage the Astros, medical expert that I am, to...
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody on Twitter is a medical expert, apparently.
It's
true.
Have
you guys seen that? How exciting is that?
Yeah, it's great. You seem like you really like it.
Yeah, I love it. No, I love.
Who's your favorite internet doctor?
I love.
Call him out.
I'm gonna address the physical, and then we'll address how everybody. So the physical thing is like, unless you're a doctor, don't diagnose someone. Don't worry the fan base. Don't freak people out.
But it's fun.
It is cringe, as the kids say. And then those people try to also be media members, and that's not exactly what you're supposed to do as media members. I just personally, it's not my cup of tea. If you want to do it, do it.
Dr. Mantis Toboggan.
It also gets into, though, what I keep seeing online where people are like, so-and-so is a narcissist or so-and-so is a sociopath. It's like that is diagnosed by a health professional. What are we doing?
Well, just if Johnny Sins can be a doctor, I think that an internet person can be a doctor, too.
Johnny Sins went to years of porn star medical school.
Whoa,
to
Johnny
become
Sins
that.
Is also an astronaut. Okay,
years of
doctor
astronaut school.
Yeah,
no, the mental health stuff is it's unbearable.
It's alarming.
It's absolutely unbearable that like people watch one like interview from, you know, player X and they're like, oh man, you know, like what, like the narcissist or on the other side, like, oh, he needs help, whatever. I remember years ago when Kevin Love like opened up about like having a panic attack during a game when he was on the Cavs. He's still on the Cavs, actually. And people were like, is LeBron James giving Kevin Love panic attacks?
Not how it works.
Like, is LeBron James somehow to blame for this?
For his mental health issues.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because LeBron bullied him. That's
insane.
For sure.
With passive aggressive tweets. Leave the doctoring to the doctors.
Yes.
But I do feel good about the Astros schedule. I do hope that their injuries end up shaping up. What freaked me out about Yordan's hand is that it's the other one.
Yeah, both of them, right.
I mean, both hands somehow have been hurt.
It's like 2020 where both knees were hurt.
Right.
Like, he had surgery on
the
both
Astros
knees.
The Astros missed the bat of Michael Brantley, and they're not going to have it. And it looked, you know, if they don't have Yordan Alvarez's bat, I think that could negatively. They're going to need that big dad energy from Alex Bregman.
Now that you've brought up how you feel about internet doctors.
Sure.
The next time Yordan Alvarez is at the plate and they have like a close-up shot, I'm going to do a deep analysis of his wrists.
Don't do it.
We're like, how flexible are his wrists really right now? Get a little slow motion breakdown of him as he like adjusts his batting gloves. Oh, he doesn't seem to be adjusting them as tightly as he would like.
Yeah, the key is do a lot of circles and draw lines like with his swing, like where his knees are.
Here's the only thing that I don't mind. If a player has an official diagnosis per the team doctor, and you know of another athlete in that sport that has had that same diagnosis, then compare away. You know, well, it took this person this long to recover from the exact same injury.
Yeah.
Even though everybody's body is different, that at least makes sense.
Alex Bregman had a wrist injury once. And that was bad. See, comparison.
There you go, comparison. Dr. Gallant. all right, let's do a little Mariners watch, ladies and gents.
Mariners watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022. There's literally no reason to watch football this year. Did you see that contract Russell Wilson got? What the hell? What am I supposed to do with my life? Oh, yeah. There's a little baseball team up in the Pacific Northwest. If you need to put a little alcohol in your coffee, Mr. Houston. Yeah, look at you high and mighty. Looking down on the pores of Gotham. Saying to yourself, the Mariners are so far away. Oh, 11 games back, but... did you see what we just did?
Huh.
3-game sweep of the Detroit Tigers. Yeah. We did it. You're probably thinking to yourself, but they're in the middle of an 18-game losing streak. But we finished that losing streak. That doesn't make any sense. But guess what? We just took 3 of 4 against the Guardians. And on top of that, we're about to take some more against the Guardians. Watch out for the Seattle Mariners. We're coming, Houston. Even though we're 11 games back. Gosh, why the hell is Russell Wilson in the Denver Broncos?
Don't take this the wrong way. The graveling voice is better than the New York voice.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
The Seattle voice really, like, I buy that you're from Seattle, that you listen to Nirvana, and that you sing in the rain.
But the whole point of the New York voice for Yankees Watch is to make fun of New Yorkers.
True, true.
To just have the absolute worst imitation of their accent to just reflect on what guttural barbarians those animals are. Because everyone from the Bronx, you know, like that chick from Glee, sorry.
Leah Michelle.
Woman, they can't read.
Be respectful
read.
Of those that can't read.
They can't read.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are going to talk about Paul's favorite quarterback from his short time in Seattle, as well as, and we want your opinion on this, who is the AFC West quarterback who is under the most pressure this season? That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I respect what you wanted to bump in with, because a lot of people would have done Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie. You went with Pressure by Billy Joel.
This song actually feels like there's a little pressure involved.
Mm-hmm.
Under Pressure by David Bowie and Queen. Well, I love that song. I've never felt like there was a lot of pressure going on in that song. This song has high stakes with the whole, like,
I was going to say that. Like, literally, like, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it is. It feels very intense. The beginning of Uptown Girl is like that, too, where just it's like, oh.
Wow.
Like going on a trip.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
713-780-3776. Which AFC quarterback, AFC West quarterback specifically, is under the most pressure? We're going to get to that in a second, and we welcome your calls on that. Let's start with Russell Wilson, Paul's favorite quarterback that he has ever covered. Obviously signed that new contract. Let's hear what Russell had to say about that new deal that keeps him there through 2028.
To me, what it's really about is being able to win championships and being able to have enough space in the salary cap so George can make his magic and we can get guys like Randy Gregory when he comes on the team or other great players, you know. And I think that we want to make this a destination location. I think that it's one of those things. We have amazing tradition, an amazing football team. For me, it wasn't really about, you know, how much necessarily. It was about how many Super Bowls we can win.
Yes.
That's really the focus.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't about how much.
It was all about the money. That's why you're in Denver.
$245 million extension.
The Seahawks didn't want to give him a new contract because he hadn't played particularly well at the end of the last couple of seasons. And because of that, that's why he was like, well, I probably want to go somewhere else where I'm in a better situation for me and my legacy and everything else going forward. This is the same guy who once said, yeah, I'll take a pay cut to get a couple of guys on the Seahawks extended. The reason he did it is because politician that he is, he wanted the Seahawks to potentially look bad if they didn't offer him a contract renegotiation. But here's the thing. With Russ, yes, it's about winning to a degree. It is about more than just that, though. He wanted to get paid, and him acting like he left a little money on the table so that the Broncos could sign other people. Just give me a
There's
break.
Nothing wrong with wanting to get paid. It's similar to what I said, although these are two very different quarterbacks, with Baker Mayfield yesterday, where it's like, if you just say that you said this thing that you want to F them up, people would like, if Russell Wilson would just say, you know what, I did want a better payday. I also wanted to be in a situation where I could win. Thank God I have both.
He doesn't need to do that, though, because a lot of people aren't like me, where they're just so sick of Russ. I think I'm probably the only person in Houston that's as passionate
maybe
about this.
Maybe in Houston, but I do think that people think that he's extremely corny. But he got paid, so maybe the corniness works. Marlon Humphrey chimed in. He quote tweeted it and said, Walmart money hit different. And then Lamar Jackson quote tweeted that and said, I swear, I-S-W-E-A, all one word with a crying emoji. Agreeing that Walmart money do indeed hit different.
But it's not about how much money. It's about
how many.
How many great deals you have at Walmart.
Yeah.
Great value.
Yeah, Walmart. Rob Walton owns the Broncos now.
Sean Mapes here for Walmart.
For Walmart.
Let me tell you about the lieutenant. The deals small the lieutenant
businesses.
Gets. Yes,
use code businesses. Sean at checkout.
We just want to support small businesses. So you don't buy the whole humble, he wants to leave money on the table and all of that.
No, he will renegotiate. Or attempt to, this contract, within 3 years.
How long does the happiness last? That's what I want to know. How long before he says, I want a new deal?
I bet 2 to 3 years. It's just going to take a couple more quarterback contracts to get, you know, paid. So I would imagine Joe Burrow gets paid. Lamar Jackson gets paid in some way, shape, or form. When those quarterbacks get paid, he will once again pick up the phone, talk to his agent. His agent will do all of the necessary trolling to get the ball rolling. Ooh. And next thing you know,
Billy Joel over here.
If he plays well, he'll probably get a raise.
Oh, he'll be Super Bowling.
Yeah, there you go.
But I don't know about him Super Bowling. You know, I just don't know that he's still the same guy.
Let's talk about that AFC West, by the way. It is loaded. This has been one of the biggest storylines of the offseason. You have Mahomes, Herbert, Carr, and Wilson at quarterback. Which AFC West quarterback, fellas, do you think is under the most pressure? And we welcome your calls and texts on this, 713-780-3776.
I like this text, 713-780-3776. The quarterback under the most pressure in the AFC West is the guy that's supposed to be the next best quarterback of all time but has yet to make the playoffs. That is Justin Herbert, and I love that text. Because I was going to say Derek Carr, but with Derek Carr, there's, I think, a ceiling as far as many people's expectations for him. Everyone loves Justin Herbert. And that's not to say Justin Herbert is a bad player. But I think everyone here in Houston, having watched the Chargers lose to the Texans towards the end of last year, when the Chargers were still kind of in the playoff race, that moment in time, I think, for us is like, hey, can we pump the brakes a little bit with Justin Herbert? I think there's a lot of pressure on him. And I wonder if people will actually come after him in the same way that they might come after some of these other young quarterbacks that play in cities where, let's be honest, people care about the team.
I think it could be Russ because of this contract. Here's the thing with Patrick Mahomes. If the Chiefs are wanting to run the ball and are wanting to get more involved that way, and he has won a Super Bowl, I think the fan base, if they want to continue with this Chiefs dynasty, you can't be a dynasty if you've won one Super Bowl. So I do think that there is pressure on Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that he is the one with the most pressure. I think it could be Russell Wilson because of the deal. At the same time, Derek Carr and Devontae Adams have really hyped up what they think this team is going to be, and Derek Carr has continuously complained about being the underdog.
Yeah.
So I think my answer is Russell Wilson, but it really could be a toss-up. Sean, who's your AFC West quarterback under the most pressure?
I think it's 100% Justin Herbert, and not just Justin Herbert as a quarterback, but really like it's on the Chargers to make the playoffs. Like they still have this guy, like Paul said, who I agree with, is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but he hasn't made the playoffs, and he's still under his rookie-scale contract, so that's why you're able to have Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Derwin James, J.C. Jackson. You're able to build around him Keenan Allen, this awesome team. Eventually, you actually have to do it. Like, you actually have to make the playoffs at some point.
It can't just be all about potential.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as Herbert goes, like, at a certain point, yes, I know it's the Chargers, and things never go right for the Chargers. Ask Philip Rivers. But at a certain point, Philip Rivers made the playoffs several times, made an AFC championship game. You have to do it at some point, Justin Herbert.
Sticking with the Chargers, did you guys see that at, I believe, his press conference yesterday, Brandon Staley kicked things off by paying homage to Serena Williams?
I did not.
Is that cool?
I love it.
Or annoying?
No, it's cool. It's cool. We need more men. This is a serious thing. We need more men supporting women's sports. So I'm all for it.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But what did he do?
I think if it wasn't Brandon Staley, I would feel a little bit differently about it. Because I think that there's a... I think I am not alone in thinking that Brandon Staley is trying so hard to be different than other coaches across the NFL, whether it's with the approach that he has on fourth downs, his analytics. But he consistently has used his, I guess, platform as an NFL coach to speak up on things. And there's a part of me where I'm like, okay, like you have some opinions. And honestly, you're pretty good at speaking about those opinions. But you guys sucked last year compared to expectations. And you were a part of that.
He said, quote, "You're talking about the greatest of all time. She was just one on one last night, just played fantastic. And just want her to know that she and the Chargers are rooting for her in the next round. She's amazing." So he said that yesterday, which was the day after she had won. Is she from that area?
I don't know. I don't think so.
She's from
Compton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The Chargers aren't in San Diego anymore. Yes.
Yeah, so it's a local girl.
You're forgetting that. God.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it. But is there a corniness element to it? Of course, I can see where you're coming from. Is Dak under pressure?
Yes.
Is Dak under any pressure? He may be one of the quarterbacks. I always say it's Carson Wentz. It might actually be Dak in some ways because I don't think people expect a lot from Carson Wentz. I think there's still an expectation for Dak.
One of the great things, I think, about being a Dallas Cowboy in 2022 is that Jerry Jones, being Jerry Jones, almost takes all the pressure off of you, doesn't it? And then having Mike McCarthy as your head coach, too, takes a little bit of the pressure, too. There aren't a lot of people that have expectations for the Cowboys this season. I think that especially with there's a lot of buzz and money being put on the Philadelphia Eagles going into the year because of the schedule that they have and because of the talent that they have at everything other than quarterback. No offense to Jalen Hurts. But Dak Prescott was asked about Cowboy doubters, of which there are many, seeing as the Cowboys don't have a lot of wide receiver depth at the moment. They just saw Tyron Smith go down for likely a large portion of this season. But Dak Prescott said this yesterday, look, keep writing. Keep talking.
Oh.
We're ready to go play. Yeah, with everything being said about us, you know what I mean? The lack of what we had. Keep writing. Keep talking. We are ready to go play.
So okay.
He's hearing the noise. Prescott last year wasn't very good, though, and I think that part of it had to do with the fact that his ankle, maybe he wasn't 100% comfortable running with it. He's got to use his feet, definitely, because this is a guy that I think his dual threat nature makes him a top half of the league quarterback.
He's definitely under pressure, and I think Cowboys fans, as delusional as they can be, are up on the fact that the expectations for him are high. They've had a couple injuries, though, so we will see how they fare. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, this is a new segment we have, and we're really excited to get your opinion on this as well. Our college football six-pack. Stay tuned.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you on this Freaky Friday. Hope everybody's doing well. We are going to have a segment that we're excited about this college football season called the College Football Six Pack. Now, it's a two-pack today because of the two college football games. We're also going to be picking throughout the season as well. So we kind of combined these segments. We want to start with the backyard brawl. We went over this last night.
Underrated rivalry.
Yeah. I mean, and over 70,000 people showed up to event. This made me excited for college football. You had a lot of action between the teams. It came down to it not being a catch for West Virginia in the end zone, and therefore Pitt won. It was very intense. There was a lot of emotion. I got to tell you, I have no connection to either team, but this was really, really fun. Pitt beats West Virginia 38-31.
They ran out of beer at the game, and they ran out of beer. This is East Coast time where this game's taking place at 9:16 East Coast time.
These now, are two fan bases, by the way, that like can slam them down.
Yeah, we're talking about, I mean, people from Western Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Eastern Ohio, that little area where they all kind of are close to connecting, because there's this weird little sliver of West Virginia
there
that's
is.
In between both of them. And Morgantown's right on the border where West Virginia is of Pennsylvania. It's a great rivalry, and I can imagine many were thrown back. One of the things that always bums me out, and I understand it because of designated, you know, people don't want people driving drunk, but they ran out of beer before the end of the third quarter in this game, and that's really impressive, but not surprising. I did not know it was 70,000 people there at Heinz Field last night.
Yeah, it was something. Did you see that online where it was like a record?
Yeah, I think it was. And I don't know if they're saying it's the largest University of Pittsburgh sports event ever or the largest crowd ever at a Pittsburgh sports event, like the city of Pittsburgh. I would imagine.
I bet it's Pittsburgh University.
Yeah,
University of Pittsburgh, yeah.
But, I mean, they are just playing at Heinz Field, so it wouldn't surprise me if they just had more people.
So, Front Office Sports says 70,622 fans. It's the largest crowd in Pittsburgh sports history.
But is that university? Is it Pittsburgh, like, the university
proper?
Or the city?
I guess we'll never know.
And that's what the broadcast kept saying. And I was like, is it the – I mean, because – it's not crazy that they just renovated Heinz Field or Acrisure Stadium, and there's like a little bit larger of a capacity, and the Steelers just haven't played in the larger capacity stadium yet.
I wish I had a squirt bottle right now just to squirt at a couple of people, like I squirt my cat when she goes up on the
tables.
We're
the only people near you, so you want to squirt at us?
Glass.
No, there's someone on the Twitch.
You want to squirt the screen?
Of course, we're talking about Pitt. It's Northeastern college football. Like, they don't care about it as much. I know. I used to live up there. 70,000? That's cute, says Texan Matt on Twitch. Just a typical Saturday in College Station.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Spray him down.
Right.
Spray.
Yeah.
Bad. Bad Texan Matt.
Penn State versus Purdue was interesting. Jeff Brohm's clock management questionable, which has been a narrative really since he got to Purdue. We did see somebody puke on Twitter after a pick six, which was fun.
We had some gusgasms, too.
We did.
Oh, and yeah, the puking was done by Purdue safety Chris Jefferson. Have you ever puked while playing a sporting event?
Yes.
Me too.
I ran cross country, so.
Oh, God.
Puked a lot. What about you, Sean?
Never puked.
Really?
Nope.
What about you, football?
Some people are built different. The first day of high school football practice, every single year, I would puke. Every single day.
Just because you were nervous or because you...
No, I was out of shape.
Out of shape, yeah.
He wasn't Bill Russell puking before every game or whatever the Bill Russell story was.
But, and Josh Allen as well.
Josh Allen
pukes
does it
before every game.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But yeah, no, the pit. I don't know what happened after the pick six that made him throw up. Was it he had to run 75 yards, or was it like the adrenaline and like all that? Like
probably both.
Was it like just he just body overloaded and he just threw up?
I bet it's running.
But the camera hit him at the
yeah,
because, the time that he puked.
Because normally, like, when they go to that shot, it was like as the team was lining up for the point after. And normally that's like when they're putting on, like, the, you know, turnover chain or doing the turnover dunk or doing something. And just to cut, like, from the field straight to a guy throwing up was hilarious. And then cut away to the kickoff. It was great.
That's a long way, 72. And he was, like, zigging and zagging a little bit, too.
He probably ran, like, 120 yards.
If you're a defensive back, you generally are not running anywhere close to that on a given play. And especially if you're a safety. Like, if you're a cornerback, okay, you might have to actually go a long distance on a play to cover somebody running straight down the field. But, yeah, so for a safety, that's a lot of work.
And it was, like, the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
This Saturday, fellas, we have number 24 U of H. Go Cougs, which will be taking on UTSA. Houston is
Alamo
favored
Dome.
By four per BUSR.
It's a battle of two teams on your Texas college football draft.
It is.
Vanessa's got UH.
Vanessa versus Vanessa. Two Vanessas. That's a scary thought.
Sean's got UTSA.
Oh, you have UTSA.
This is a big game, guys.
Yeah,
that's
one
right.
Point on the line.
I'm gonna kick your butt.
Yeah. so passionate about it. Look, I think UH is going to be awesome this year. I think UTSA is going to take a little bit of a step back, so I'm going to take UH and the points.
I think we will all take the Cougs. Wait, do
no,
you believe
I'm rolling
in your...
with my Roadrunner.
Okay.
I have to. Maybe Nope, I need the point, so they need a win. I was going to say to cover.
Go Roadrunners.
You can just say cover.
But for the game, I need the point. Every point matters, Paul.
That's true. Okay. But picking up the cover. Gotcha.
2:30 on ESPN. It'll be Cincinnati versus Arkansas. I'm rolling with Cincinnati. I know Arkansas is ranked higher, but I covered them. I like Luke Fickell. I think they have a good program, obviously. They showed some great spots last year, so I'm going with Cincy.
This is one of my teams, and I'm going to take Arkansas and the points. Bloodbath City, Pig Suey, let's go.
Arkansas favored by 7, by the way, Sean.
Hell yeah.
Give me the Hogs. I also think that Cincinnati had a great team last year, but they did lose. I want to say it was like 8 players.
Like everybody. Ritter. Desmond Ritter.
Yeah. Sauce Gardner.
This isn't a place like Georgia or Alabama they lose 8 NFL players and it's coming up the system, they have 8 more. So I think maybe a little bit of a step back going to an SEC stadium, a pretty good one who brings back their quarterback from last year. Give me the Hawks.
Arkansas fans are underrated crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's underrated. I think they're just crazy.
Oregon takes on Georgia. I'm taking Georgia here. Georgia's favored by 17, by the way.
Yeah, screw the West Coast. Screw the Pacific Northwest. I'm gone. I want Georgia to run it up. SEC. I don't know what it is. Whenever there's an SEC school that plays a team from the West Coast, but I just want to see the West Coast team get stuffed.
Yeah,
this is a culture war.
I'm also taking Georgia, and you got to feel bad for Bo Nix. He transferred from Auburn, where they play Georgia and Alabama every single year.
True.
And his first game back, he's like, I'm going to go out west, you know, have a little fun, laid back football, play late at night. First game, you're back in the wood chipper. Give me the Dogs.
They're favored by 17 points in this one. It's funny to see Bo Nix again, though. Bo Nix plays like a drunker version of Brett Favre.
He is a college football like fan favorite.
Yeah, that's true.
It could be good. It could be bad. Every time he lets go of the ball,
he makes it fun.
Yeah,
you never know what's coming. All right. Finally, we have number 5 Notre Dame Fighting Irish versus number 2 Ohio State. Ohio State is favored by 17. These are the two teams that I grew up hating.
Yeah.
I don't mean I kind of disliked them. I mean, I hated both of them,
even more
so than Purdue as an IU fan.
Who do you hate more?
Probably Ohio State, just because they're both cocky, but at least Notre Dame is in Indiana, so there is that element. But Ohio State fans, unbearable, and specifically Ohio State fans in Indiana, which most people have no connection to Ohio State that like Ohio State.
Two of my good friends from my flag football team that I played on when I first moved here, one of them is a diehard Ohio State fan to the point where he named his son after, Archie Griffin. And the other one, the other one's a Notre Dame fan. And
oh, God, your friends are awful.
So, well, I really want to see the back and forth between these two. I got to say, between Q, who is the Ohio State fan, and Tommy.
Wait, he's Q?
We call him Q.
Oh.
And Tommy, who is the Notre Dame fan.
Those sound right.
The Ohio State fan is far more insufferable.
Yeah.
Like, and seeing as I feel like Notre Dame fans have kind of settled back into being like, listen, we know that when we get too high, when we get too close to the sun, we get shot down. So I think Notre Dame is less insufferable. I'm going to go with Notre Dame to cover here.
Okay.
You know, 17 points is a lot. It really is. Is Ohio State that good this season? Is it always going to be this good for Ohio State? Honestly, it probably is. They're probably going to kill everybody this year. They're damn good. I regret this choice already.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they this good this year? Yeah, they are.
You're picking Notre Dame to win?
I'm picking Notre Dame to cover.
To cover.
Because it's a 17 per BUSR.com/ESPN.
Wink.
Okay.
That's the spread.
I might have misunderstood the assignment, but you know what? I'm going with my picks anyway.
What, you picked Ohio State?
Well, I picked Ohio State.
Look, they might win by 17. I don't think that's far-fetched.
I thought it was who I didn't realize.
It's all good.
Gambling experts, baby. Come to us.
See?
Hey, yeah. It's week one. We're week still working one. Out the
yeah.
kinks.
We're working out the kinks. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, catching up on some illiteracy. You might have heard this earlier in the show, but first, Paul is going to tell you about his boxing match.
Listen,
yes, Paul will be boxing this
weekend. I'm going to be boxing against a small child. Who will win? Who can say? Just kidding. Guys, Sunday night, 8 o'clock on Fox pay-per-view. It is Andy Ruiz versus Luis Ortiz. Dude, Andy Ruiz is a former champ. Guy's up there in age. He's also called the Destroyer. And Luis Ortiz is nicknamed King Kong. Whoever gave these guys their nicknames, they deserve a cut of this payout in this pay-per-view. Highly anticipated heavyweight brawl, but it's also going to feature some other on the undercard. Isaac Pitbull, Cruz and Eduardo Ramirez, Abner Meres against Miguel Flores, Jose Valenzuela against Jezreel Corrales, and it all goes down again Sunday night, 8 o'clock. Look, you're going to watch a ton of college football tomorrow. You probably watched some last night as well. And there might be some other games to see, but come on. This is the prime time attraction. It's Labor Day. You're having a party with some friends. Why not get the boxing match? Why not go to Fox, get the pay-per-view event? It's Andy Ruiz, the Destroyer, against Luis Ortiz, King Kong. Make sure you watch it again. Sunday night on Fox pay-per-view.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Zadox.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, speaking of Ohio State, quarterback C.J. Stroud wants to make sure everybody looks good against Notre Dame. In the post-practice speech, the Ohio State redshirt sophomore quarterback told the team he was giving each of them a $500 gift card to Express to buy suits ahead of the team's meeting with the Fighting Irish. I wanted to do something for the team, said Stroud, so I got everybody $500 gift cards to go to Express and make sure that you look fly.
See, that's why Notre Dame's going to win.
Oh.
What's $500 going to get you at Express?
Oh, at Express, it'll be...
I actually like Express.
I love
lie.
Express. Not that I was planning on wearing an Express dress tonight on the Astros pregame. Thanks,
ooh.
Paul. But...
What? Did I spoil it for you?
You crapped on Express. It's fine.
No, I like Express.
No, fine.
The jeans I
what
have.
What does $500 get you at Express?
Well,
Mr. Bougie.
I mean, is that going
to
get you a
private high school?
Is that going to get you a suit?
Yeah. Yes. At Express? Oh, actually, a suit. I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering.
How much is the average suit?
I think that it's like over $500 unless you're getting it with somebody else on like one of those
Sean,
joint
suits?
Two for the price of one.
Yes, I do. The first Express suit that comes up is the classic black Luke's comfort. I don't know. It cuts off.
Black
it's
Luke's.
$228.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it is. Okay. So
they can buy two suits.
I wasn't sure.
So they will indeed look fly.
Listen.
But they probably have to get it tailored considering they're a football
yeah,
team.
Yeah, exactly. They're big guys. Can they fit into Express
maybe
suits?
Tip.
They're
going
to have to get some tailors up in there.
I like Express, by the way. All my jeans are from Express.
I do like Express
all
a lot.
Of them.
Also, occasionally rock with Old Navy.
Ooh,
all right.
Old Navy performance, please.
Yeah. I had the American flag. Do you guys have the American flag t-shirts?
No, I actually
I had the 4th of July wore it every year.
Everyone had those back in the day, though, the Old Navy 4th of July shirt. Yeah.
I might have. There might be some baby picture, or not baby picture, but young pictures lying around.
Young Sean. Yeah. All right, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
There's a story about a pilot that I'm going to have you read because I'm coughing. Excuse me.
Sorry. That wasn't nice. Look, so there was a flight out of Houston to, I believe, Cabo, Vanessa, where somebody decided to airdrop on everybody's phone a picture of himself.
Okay, well, what's the problem with the picture of himself? Well, is it like a selfie?
As you can guess, it was a selfie featuring the goods.
Guys.
It was a Brett Favre selfie.
Yeah. That's harassment.
Well, everyone on the airplane got it. Some people opened it. And it led to this moment as the pilot of this plane took the microphone to express concerns.
So here's the deal. This continues while we're on the ground. I'm going to have to pull back to the gate. Everybody's going to have to get off. We're going to have to get security involved. And it's vacation that's going to be ruined. So you folks, whatever that airdrop thing is, send a naked picture. Let's get yourself to Cabo.
Let's get yourself to Cabo.
I love how he said vacation ruined. He's clearly pissed off here.
He's irritated.
I will turn this plane around.
Yeah. It's very Did you ever have your parents say, I'll turn this car around? I got that a lot.
Have you ever had someone try to airdrop stuff?
Yes,
to you?
And I always deny it.
I do too. This happens at the airport
a
lot.
Yes, it happened at the airport when I was there last time.
That's right. I remember you brought this up.
Yeah. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
I didn't accept it. I didn't know who it was, but it made me very cautious of who was around me.
I just have it turned off at all, like the airdrop turned off, and then I can just turn it on whenever someone wants to airdrop me something.
Whenever you want to be turned on.
Bad Syracuse story of a couple of years ago, the library where I used to go to back in the day, I guess 2 years ago, someone like essentially airdropped like some white nationalist stuff to everybody in the library. Yeah, it was a really bad look for Syracuse, which has of course had many.
Oh, wow. Oh, no. A bad look for Syracuse.
What? I mean, that's a horrible look.
What will the prestigious alumni do?
It is a bad look to have a person drop air.
I just don't like that the orange looked like that.
It reflects poorly on the university where you can see alumni, Paul Gallant.
I'm not even standing up for that. It was a
Mike
bad
Tirico
look.
On Sunday Night Football.
Well, I am like just as talented as him.
Oh, okay.
Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah. Keep going. How many more? Did you not work at the basic radio station? Did you work at the cool radio station?
I worked at the cool radio station,
Of course you did. Look at him.
Well, they wouldn't let me into the fancy radio station.
We touched on this earlier, but Leah Michelle, alum of the television show Glee, addressed the rumor that she can't read. Quote, I went to Glee every single day. I knew my lines. Then there's a rumor online that I can't read or write. It's sad. It really is. I think often, if I were a man, a lot of this wouldn't be the case.
It's true. It's true.
Wait, you really think that? Because I don't think it has anything to do with her gender.
No, it's all about gender. It's 2022. You know what? If you're getting attacked for not being able to read, you may as well just like try to find some person that you can go on the attack against. And male toxic masculinity culture. But yeah, that's so incorrect. Do we not still make fun of Floyd Mayweather, arguably the best boxer of all time, because he can't read? We talked about that earlier today.
I personally have never made fun of anybody for not being able to read because I think it's a cruel thing to do.
I assume everyone can read, to be honest.
If you're not a child, I think that it's totally fair.
Well, what if you didn't get an education or your parents didn't read to you?
I mean,
wow, he just shrugged his shoulders.
You want to survive in this world?
He said tough.
Learn to read.
Good luck getting into Syracuse with those essays.
It's a good point, Sean. Thank you for bringing that up. Look. There's a certain point, Vanessa, where you should be able to, at the very least, read a little. I'm not saying you have to be able to read at a high school level.
Some people have not had the best home life.
And this person's an actress on a television show called Glee and made tons of money and probably could have bought an education after the fact.
She also was accused of being awful on set.
Because she couldn't read, probably.
Well,
yeah, she has insecurities.
She couldn't read her lines. So, I mean, that's a huge problem probably for an actor or actress. If they can't read the script, then, I mean, that would make things very difficult.
I do want to know, like, is this actually, like, Is it an online rumor in that it's like a, you know, people who worked with Glee say that she couldn't read? Or is it just people online like, wouldn't it be funny if we just made this a meme?
I bet one person tweeted it and then she wanted to quote unquote address the rumor.
People tweet out. People forget that Lea Michele can't read.
Something that 100% would have been forgotten about within an hour.
Who do you think started the rumor?
Ooh, I didn't watch Glee.
I didn't either.
Yeah,
neither
so did I. I don't know
who she is, other than she can't read.
Probably one of the people that also said that she was awful to work with.
Must have been.
They wanted to also just make her look dumb, which
that's a job.
We've all done that. Joe Flacco opened up about the bullying he receives from his children. The Jets shared a video on Twitter, and he talked about how little respect he gets at home. He says his kids are so hard on him about how much he stinks that he tries to pull up highlights and show that he did have a good career.
Man, that's kind of, that's a bummer.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you feel bad for Joe Flacco,
I
but
do.
Not people that can't read.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. He's elite.
Huh.
No, I don't. I don't. Sorry. Learn.
You don't feel bad for people that can't read?
Kids, yes. People, no, I don't. You have no excuse.
Like, not to learn to read?
You're driving on the highway. There are signs. How are you going to get from point A to point B? How are you going to communicate with anybody?
How do you test the driver's test if you can't read?
That's true, yeah, so they can't drive.
They probably don't have a car. How do you get a job good enough to buy a car?
Because you're right. There's so many people in this country that are driving. Check that. I don't know how to speak English all of a sudden. Can I read? Here's what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of people that are driving in this country that don't have licenses, so...
Oh, that's true.
It's not like you need to necessarily pass a test to be able to drive. You should learn how to read. This is me pushing for reading, and you guys are like, it's okay to not read. See? Look at that spin that I just did on you. Vanessa and Sean, anti-reading. You don't have to read.
I actually was one of the top reading counts kids in my classes every year.
But you're saying, like, you don't have to read.
No, I'm just saying some people were not blessed with the ability to learn how to read naturally or have parents that read stories
Texas
to them.
Has the fourth lowest literacy rate in the United States.
And you know what?
81%.
If you can't read, I still love you. Paul doesn't.
No,
but
tough
I
love.
Yeah,
sorry.
19% of the country. Or
but
the
Joe
state.
Flacco. Oh,
it's Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco.
His rich kids are mean to him.
It's 19%.
Oh.
19% of Texas cannot read.
What?
Yeah, that means that they're not up to the level they should be.
Okay. I'm talking.
Right?
The national average is 88%. Can read.
Okay, I was about to say 88.
Oh yeah,
I
flipped it.
I was like, Texas doing really
12%
well.
Can't read.
Yeah,
in the country, 19 can in Texas.
Now I didn't know it was that high. I figured it was like 5%.
We probably have some listeners
so
that can't read.
Higher.
Maybe they have dyslexia.
That's why
maybe
they listen to the radio.
Whatever. Yeah. Learn to read. I don't care. You know what? Tripling down. Learn to read.
Yeah. Oh, I love
you. You have a whole
read.
3-day weekend to read. Learn. I learned to read when I was 3.
Oh, wow.
What?
Humble brag.
Go, dog, go.
The 2008 Florida Gators, one of the most prolific teams in college football history. A Heisman winner, 19 NFL draft picks. Tim Tebow, can I give you a Percy Harvin? Interest you in Brandon Spikes? Maybe one Aaron Hernandez? Riley Cooper? Cam Newton?
Wait,
now?
Wait.
There's most likely going to be a documentary on Netflix.
There's actually going to be one?
That details.
Oh, let's go.
Netflix is rumored to be making a documentary on the 08 Florida Gators.
Oh, my God.
According to Florida Gators insider Nick De La Torre, the 08 team will be featured in the documentary. It will star both Urban and Tim Tebow, as well as a couple other guys.
I can't wait for how uncomfortable Tim Tebow gets when they ask him about either Riley Cooper or Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
Can you guess how many of the 121 players on that team have been arrested at some point since the national title?
Since the net, out of like 30 of them, 35?
Out of how many?
121 players.
On the team?
Yes.
Because I know they're very criminal. They're famously criminal.
Probably 40. I'm going to go with 45.
So you guys are both like right on the outside. 41.
It's insane.
41 of 121. Holy crap. That's incredible.
How many of them can read?
Yeah. You know what? Literacy.
Florida literacy, not great.
Yeah. I'm excited to see this.
They learned to read. They would have stayed out of jail.
It needs to be produced by somebody that's not Urban Meyer or Tim Tebow, because I don't want any spin jobs. I want to know if there were any signs of Aaron Hernandez getting weird. I want to know Riley Cooper. Were there signs of him maybe not liking people of other skin colors, etc.? No, I'm being serious. Like, were there signs that some of these guys were going to turn
low
out?
On the scandal.
It is crazy that, like, yeah, now, like, Cam Newton stealing the laptop. You're like,
oh, Percy Harvin.
Not the biggest deal.
The Pouncey twins, Aaron Hernandez. Yeah.
I'm glad I grew up rooting for these guys, you know?
You grew up rooting for them. Oh, you went to the private high school in Tampa where you can read.
Stop. I like Florida. Yeah, that's true. I like the Florida Gators from when I was a little kid on. I like the Gators.
This guy's all over the place.
My hero.
All right.
My hero.
Stick around, guys. You get the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. We will be back after Labor Day.
Peace.
See ya.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.